right. Welcome to the Sean Morgan Report. My name is Sean Morgan. I am here with my guest, Jim Cutler from EtherealSea.com. And this is an exclusive episode for AmericanMediaPeriscope.net. We have our show every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. So definitely check us out there. And remember, our sponsor, Sovereign Advisors, they offer a free gold consultation, precious metals consultation. So definitely check them out. Producer, do you want to run that spot now for Sovereign Advisors? The Fed and the global banking system. And with a new law in 2020 that gives the White House control of the Federal Reserve, money is changing even more. Take advantage of these trends because massive profits can be found in this transition. As for me, I trust Dr. Kirk Elliott of Sovereign Advisors. He has not one but two PhDs and 25 years of experience in the industry. Call him and tell him Sean Morgan sent you. His number is 720-605-3900, or click the link in the description to get that free consultation. All right, we are back. So this is a very exciting episode that we're going to do today. This is all about the current financial meltdown that's going on with GameStop. I want to just introduce my guest, Jim Cutler. Jim from EtherealSea.com. He's currently being blown around on a sailboat in the Atlantic Ocean. So, Jim, I'm going to do a little bit of a monologue first, but we're going to get back and ask you a few questions here in a couple minutes. So I just want to give a quick overview of what's going on with GameStop. So for those of you who don't know, there is a group on Reddit called Wall Street Bets. And so this is a group, had a couple million members, really big group. And it was a mix between amateur investors and some sophisticated investors as well. And they started to identify where some hedge funds on Wall Street were shorting some undervalued stocks, such as GameStop. GameStop is a franchise and they sell video games, and they just got a new CEO looking to transition them from just being brick and mortar to having an e-commerce business. So it's a very promising business that Wall Street thought was going to go bankrupt. And so they started shorting the GME GameStop stock. And so all these millions of amateur investors on Reddit, on Wall Street Bets, identified the fact that Melvin Capital, a hedge fund, and others were heavily shorting this stock. In fact, they were shorting more shares than actually existed of the stock, which should be illegal, but it happened. And so these amateur investors cooked up a plan, partially selfishly wanting to make money, of course, and partially wanting to see a business succeed, but also partially wanting to destroy the financial money masters on Wall Street. And it seems to be working. This hedge fund has basically already gone bankrupt. They've had to ask money. This is billions of dollars of losses. They've had to ask money from their broker. Their brokers, other funds and banks are bailing out Melvin Capital. And now we've got a whole bunch of brokerages and banks that are actually exposed to this risk. But the thing is, the risk is not over. These short stock positions, they take time to close out. And we've got like a 30-day window where Wall Street's doing its best to suppress retail traders from buying specific stocks such as GameStop that have been shorted by Wall Street. And they're also manipulating the markets to try to make it seem like the price is going down when in reality there's very high demand. And so you see GameStop stock going up and down. It's like a roller coaster right now. But for every dollar that GameStop goes up, Wall Street loses millions of dollars. And for every $11 that it goes up, Wall Street loses billions of dollars. So this is a big, big, big story. It's so much bigger than I can even express to you. And that's the basic overview. If you want to get more information, join my newsletter, and I can send some articles to you that give a better kind of overview of the whole narrative. But now, phase two of this whole program, I want to go into how this is so big that it could actually bring down the whole financial system. So I want to ask the producer to bring up resource A. So for every $11, the price of GameStop shares go up, the banks lose about $1 billion. And 2008's housing market collapse only cost the banks $50 billion. So if GameStop hits $1,000 a share, it's worse for the banks than the 2008 housing market crash. This is going to crash the entire financial system, and it's not limited to GameStop or AMC Theaters or BlackBerry. This has exposed a serious vulnerability in a system that is already propped up by massive amounts of debt. These funds make up a significant amount of trading volume on the New York Stock Exchange, and the average hedge fund has $30 to $40 in debt for every $1 of actual money on the books. It has now become apparent that the sustenance of the entire system is dependent upon fund managers and bankers trading on inside info at the expense of retail investors who hold positions opposite of theirs. Retail and outsiders have now figured out a way to break their game, rendering them unable to service that debt. If the government intercedes, they can only do so unconstitutionally and screws tens of thousands of regular people out of money that they made fairly. If they don't, I don't know if you realize this, but we are looking at a system-wide collapse that can't be stopped. Hedge funds have a total of $3.25 trillion under management, and nearly every dollar of that is intertwined and levered up to the extent above. And the value of the U.S. dollar will be at risk. There's no amount of stimulus the government can pour in to help service that debt without triggering hyperinflation. Exciting times. So that's good for the visual. Thank you, producer. I have a few other resources that I could share that also drives home the gravity of the situation, the kind of domino effect that this has, where first the hedge fund goes broke, and then the primary broker goes broke, and then the banks behind them go broke, and then the government tries to step in, and then it can bring down the whole system. So before I start going into that, I want to get some feedback from Jim Cutler if the wind isn't too bad on the sailboat.
No, the wind is slowly dying down, so we're going in a good direction. But it's really fun for me to be under sail at these speeds and do this show, because that's really what I'm about, doing my thing, sailing right now off the coast of Florida. And really getting good information out to the audience. And to be able to do both of those things at the same time is really exciting for me. So,
it seems like people are going to feel a little seasick, but I think it's kind of part of the adventure.
Yeah, I'll try to hold still as much as I can. But we're going to be talking a lot about a number of different things today. Some of these things are happening right now. Some of these things happened back in 2008. And some of these things we're going to mention are seemingly totally separate from what's happening right now, but they're not. Everything is correlated. And there's going to be some information today about how the strategy that comes from Q and from the Trump team themselves are now branching out into a very concerted action around financials. And so this war that we're fighting is now going from more information into more financials. And so you'll see what that all means.
Yeah, actually, the producer's was playing a clip, but we're going to bring that up later. There is an interesting correlation or connection here with the whole Q operation and the Trump strategy. And so we're going to pull out some of those connections today. But before that, I want to go into more of the story behind the story here of all the implications financially. So let's bring up resource B on the screen. Okay. So I'm glad this place has quieted down enough for some actual DD written by a monkey with a keyboard and Adderall. Disclaimer, I am that monkey. Let me explain to you what happened play by play. I will give you illiterates who hate reading a spoiler up front. We were within approximately 30 seconds of triggering a nuclear bomb that would have blown up the market. Yesterday, new call option strike prices were added all the way up to $570. So yesterday, yesterday aftermarket, you probably saw that coordinated effort to drive the price down and spook retail investors into a massive sell-off. It didn't work. Last night, Robinhood sent out a message to users. You could no longer enter into new options. You could exercise them if you had the collateral money in the account to do so. Very interesting and first sign off. So today, the market opened very strong. It opened so strong that we were looking at self-perpetuating gamma squeeze all the way past $570 a share for GameStop. At approximately 9:58 a.m., the stock had reached 468 in a parabolic move. 2 minutes earlier, at 9:56 a.m., Robinhood tweeted that they were not allowing users to buy GameStop, but they would allow selling. The trend instantly halted and started a collapse downward before picking up a bit, especially after some retail was allowed back in. So, okay, now that you are clear on the facts, understand this. The market ran out of liquidity today or was threatening to get close that they killed it. What does that mean? It means they ran out of shares and or capital. They wouldn't let you buy new shares because we were burning through all the shares on the market. I saw an unsubstantiated post from a user who said a small sell limit order executed at $2,600 for him. Do you get the severity of the situation if that's true? It means the buying was getting to the point where it was just about to put infinite pressure on the price of the shares. It means virtually any ask was getting bid. How do you get infinite upward pressure? A gamma squeeze triggering the mother of all short squeezes, just like we predicted. The call writers needed shares to hedge. Retail is still buying more. The short sellers needed over 100% of the float back. Add these together, there were more shares needed than existed on the open market. That's what a liquidity crisis is. Listen to this remarkable, if infuriating, interview where the chairman of Interactive Brokers admits that they didn't have the capital to pay out the winners, so they took the ball and went home. Do you grasp how insane it is that he said they needed to shut down buy orders to protect the market? He's not talking about the market for GME shares. He's talking about the entire stock market. Remember the movie Snowpiercer? Do you remember that scene where the lower class people realize the soldiers who oppress them have no bullets? Go back to the 1 minute mark. It kicks off a full blown rebellion. They have no bullets. It's the exact same in this market. They have no capital. They have no shares. It's infinite losses inbound. So that's enough, producer, for that specific post. And it's just to one person's perspective and their analysis of what kind of crisis is happening right now that's causing these different actors to behave in a certain way. For example, we've got Robinhood, who just needed a $1 billion infusion of cash. We've got Robinhood. You know, for those who don't know, Robinhood is an app where you can buy stocks commission free. It's very popular, and they're supposedly going to democratize and make trading for the normal person. But in reality, what they did is they stopped the ability for regular people to buy stocks to protect hedge funds who had shorted certain stocks. And so they're doing, they're actually Sheriff Nottingham from Robinhood. They're not actually Robinhood themselves. Jim, do you want to say anything about the post I just read about the liquidity crisis and the fact that the deep state has actually run out of bullets? They don't know what to do.
Yeah, I mean, this is a thing that the deep state, with the blind eye of the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, are basically violating laws left and right, but they're allowed to. And so when you talk about these massive hedge positions These are short sellers that are borrowing stock and selling it in order to drive the price down and make a profit for themselves. Now, as Sean talked about, there's a shortage of stocks that those hedge funds can get their hands on to sell. Now, there's another aspect to this whole, buying and selling thing, and it's called naked short selling. So remember that term, because that's very important. Naked short selling. When a hedge fund, or anybody for that matter, naked shorts a stock, that means they're selling it without having possession of it. So again, when Sean talks about the hedge funds needing to get their hands on stock so that they can sell it, this is a situation where they're not even bothering with that step. They're just selling it nakedly. That's what that means. They're selling the stock without possessing it. Naked selling the stock and driving the price down. Now, when you have a short squeeze, now they have a big problem, because not only can they not get their hands on the stock, but now the numbers of the number of shares outstanding for that company are just totally incorrect. And all of the algos that rely on those numbers start going haywire. And those hedge funds become massively exposed for all to see that they're violating the law and they're doing things that they're not allowed to do. And the SEC themselves are massively exposed to allowing this to happen. So this isn't just a money loss issue, and it is massively, but it's also a legal issue for these people, because they're being caught red-handed violating these SEC regulations all over the place. So this issue and what you're seeing happen right now has multi-pronged impact across the board. And now it's going to be very, very difficult for these hedge funds these are deep state banks. And remember, hedge funds are handling stocks not just for individuals, they're handling stocks for major corporations and banks themselves. And they coordinate with each other to manipulate stock value so that they can all profit. But it's all going haywire now. That's why you're seeing it spilling into the mainstream media. Because otherwise, they wouldn't touch this. You'd never hear about it. It would just stay silent. But now they can't be silent about it.
Private club of the money masters, and they coordinate with each other. And this time around, they got really greedy. They didn't follow their own best practices of covering themselves. They put all their eggs in one basket. They didn't count on people doing their own due diligence and acting on the other half of the trade against them. And they're trying to flex their muscles now to show everyone, hey, we control the chessboard. You can't even buy this stock if we don't want you to buy it. Because what's interesting is that the people who bailed out Melvin Capital, Citadel, and Citadel is one of Robinhood's major clients. And so, of course, there's an incentive for Citadel to stop retail investors from investing in the stocks that they shorted. And that's obviously why they stopped retail investors. But what's also happening is big tech is jumping and coordinating on board. The Apple store has stopped people from being able to download investment apps. And you have mainstream media. The mainstream media is also coordinating with the deep state, and they're accusing all of these retail investors who didn't do anything illegal, who basically saw an investment opportunity and they talked about it amongst each other and they all moved forward on it. They're calling them Nazis and white supremacists and anti-Semitic and just everything that they normally do when they want to attack a group. They always have that same, speech that they do to try to label them just like they label QAnon supporters as white supremacists and anti-Semitic and Nazis and all that stuff. I'm going to go into the next resource. Not going to show it on the screen because the text is so small, but this is a text that also, like the other two texts that I read, help to paint the picture of the implications of this specific event. So now you might ask, if the funds who were short on GameStop cannot cover their obligations, what happens? Well, because they are contractually obligated, if they cannot continue to post collateral within the institutions they sold the stock short through to cover their risk rising debts, meaning the margin call, they will be forcibly liquidated in order to try to cover. But since they are short well over 100% of the stock, they can't cover. So even after they are liquidated, there will still be unfulfilled obligation, which would be assumed by their prime broker. Prime brokers are investment banks who take on risks like this for hedge funds in the event that the fund makes bad trades and is forcibly liquidated. Because of the 2008 crash, when Bear Stearns failed, counterparty risk is now usually spread out. So it's not assumed just by one bank. It's actually multiple banks to reduce the risk of any one bank failing because of bad trades by one hedge fund. However, the level of current exposure the banks have is actually mind-blowingly large, and I'll explain why. The fund who took the most prominent short position against GameStop is Melvin Capital, one of the most known hedge funds that specialize in short selling. So they're famous for short selling, and you actually have a whole slew of other hedge funds that copy exactly what Melvin Capital is doing. So it's not just one hedge fund that shorted GameStop. It's actually a slew of them that did the exact same thing, copying Melvin Capital. So if Melvin's risk is absorbed by two or three banks acting as prime brokers, the counterparty risk for the trades made by Melvin actually spreads out to increase exposure to potentially every large investment bank which acts as a prime broker for hedge funds. But the story doesn't stop there. Because the price squeeze on GameStop short sellers is enormous and theoretically infinite, GameStop stock is essentially just a money printer which has continually rising value in the market because the value of the equity continues to increase. GameStop shareholders are able to borrow more and more money against GameStop stock on margin through their brokers. Recognizing the financial reasons why this trade has gone so successfully in their favor, many of these traders are now using either more of their money or more money borrowed against GameStop stock. So you can see how complicated this is getting. There are good actors and bad actors, and they're all trying to profit off of this crisis. And everybody's freaking out. You've got the SEC freaking out, and we're going to talk about some of the players on both sides who are kind of fueling the crisis from either side, the white hats and the deep state. But first, I'm going to talk about how this relates to the Q operation and to specifically a video that Q posted over and over again. And Q used a phrase from this video over and over again, which is biblical. And so, producer, could you play this video from the QAnon intel drops and how this think, and the audience needs to think in their mind right now, how this might relate to a class warfare where you've got one side basically trying to bring down the financial system. So go ahead, producer, you can play that video from the QAnon drops.
I'll keep my head up and you will end this.
I'm just getting warmed up. This is Von Clausewitz shit. Total fucking war. I'm gonna pull the whole thing down. I'm gonna bring the whole fucking diseased, corrupt temple down on your head. It's gotta be biblical.
So he says he's gonna bring down the whole system and it's gonna be biblical. And this is something that Q posted many, many times and referenced many, many times. And to be honest, we didn't know exactly what he meant or exactly which system they were going to bring down and how. But now that this story has come to the fore. We're starting to get a vision because guess what? All of these retail investors, they know they have the upper hand. They're not selling GameStop, and they're actually targeting a slew of other markets and stocks that they can do the exact same thing to. And we can actually visualize, as these resources I shared before, how this could bring down the entire financial system. And it's scary and it's exciting at the same time, Jim. What are your thoughts? Jim has been muted. Go ahead, Jim. You can start over.
Let's talk about the run-up to what's happening now. And you know, we're always talking about the plan. You know, we're sticking to the plan. We're following the plan. And I'm hoping a lot of conservatives and Trump supporters are listening carefully to this, because you are now seeing, you know, the beautiful execution of the plan. And if you think that this is all happening now simply because of Robinhood and GameStop, you'd be incorrect. And let me give you an example. Back in 2008, there was a company called Overstock. And that company was run by an extremely intelligent individual with a PhD in economics. And he ran that company beautifully. And the hedge funds looked at him, saw how successful he was, and saw an opportunity. They got together and said, we can short the stock and we can profit handsomely off of Overstock's stock offering. So they not only shorted his stock, they naked shorted his stock. Okay, so that's why I wanted you all to remember that term. Now, Byrne, this is the guy I'm talking about, the CEO of Overstock. His name is Patrick Byrne, and he's now a member of the Trump team. He came in, you know, a few months ago and suddenly appeared and started really being a player within the Trump team. Well, now you know why, unofficially, but now you know why he's there, because he has knowledge of stocks and the SEC and everything, that, and his experience was very, very valuable information to Trump and to Q to help them formulate this aspect of the strategy going forward. So they've been working on this strategy for a long time, and now they put it all together, and I can bet your bottom dollar that the Robinhood app was looked at by them, targeted, and they said, yep, that's what we're going to use. We're going to do what we can to get that app into the public domain and get the people knowing about it, build up its base of users, and then start executing this aspect of the plan, which from all purposes is going beautifully. So clearly, the financial warfare aspect of this was a very solid endemic part of the plan. And now you're seeing the peace parts being run to pull that off. And since Q and everybody has this so well thought out, it's very, very difficult for the deep state to fight it. And clearly, they were caught off guard. And, you know, and every day that goes by that they are not successful in stopping Q and Trump from doing this, and of course all the Robinhood users from doing this, the worse it gets for them. And again, Trump is simply using the profit motive of individuals. They're Democrats, they're Republicans, they don't matter at all. It's their profit motive to use an app like Robinhood to do trading effectively. And that is exactly what they're doing. Now, where does this come from? How do you learn to use a person's profit motive to execute a game plan where you're winning for some other reason? And what that's called is called game theory. And if any of you know anything about game theory, it is based on individual and I'll use the term profit motive, but it doesn't necessarily mean money. Game theory is just looking at human nature and saying, okay, humans have a proclivity to do X, Y, and Z. Therefore, the plan is going to incorporate that knowledge and that understanding of how people generally operate. And since that can be codified into code and into a system called, you know, such as game theory, then that becomes a very effective and employable weapon. And this is exactly what they're doing. So we can sit here and go into some good detail about the piece parts and how it all works. But, you know, you got to keep in the back of your mind that this is a long-term, well-thought-out, and very effective use of financial weaponry.
Yes, they've actually weaponized the public against the deep state. I agree that this whole GameStop thing is not 100% organic. You know, the white hats have a lot of resources at their disposal. And one of them, many people claim, is that Trump and the white hats have assistance from very wealthy families worldwide that are against the deep state and actually have possession of the majority of the world's gold, supposedly. The white hats have already figured out how to weaponize the intellectual dark web. A good example of that is QAnon, where, you know, they specifically targeted 4chan, 8chan, 8kun, and so forth, where a lot of really smart people call them autists because they're like savants. And so they actually turned those savants that share that platform into decentralized intelligence. And they've done research on behalf, open source research on behalf of the white hats. And now they've weaponized basically an overlapping group of people on the intellectual dark web to do financial warfare. And you have to be pretty intellectually sophisticated to understand short selling and everything. Because if you're not sophisticated, you sell your GameStop right now. And if you do that, the banks win. You've got to keep holding until the 30-day period is up, and then the banks are really have nowhere to go and nothing to do. Also, then there's the actions that Trump took with the Treasury. To be honest, I'm not sophisticated enough to understand those actions that he took, but it seems like Trump was anticipating unloading a lot of the bad assets and debt onto the Fed and keeping the Treasury solvent. So I don't understand how he did that, but I know a lot of people who have looked into it. Go ahead, Jim.
Mnuchin, who was the Treasury Secretary under Trump, he was a Goldman Sachs player. And when Trump tapped him for Treasury Secretary, a lot of people went, whoa, 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 that's deep state. You're pulling deep state into this, and that doesn't smell right. Well, Mnuchin was pulled in because Mnuchin knows where the bodies are buried. Mnuchin is like Michael Flynn in the financial sector.
And he knows the bodies are state financial architecture and how all the intricacies
absolutely.
And all the scams.
Yep, and the game plan, the whole nine yards. So now you have a core group within to then go take this next step. And the next step was taking the Federal Reserve, which is wholly owned by the biggest banks out there, Barclays, JP Morgan, Citibank, Bank of America, et cetera. They all make up the Federal Reserve. Trump then, went to them and using much of the same information that he used on the other leaders of the other countries, i.e., you're a pedophile. Your whole organization is full of pedophiles. We have all the information on you. We're going to use it. And was successful in using the same kind of blackmail they use to say, we're now pulling the Federal Reserve away from you and we're incorporating into the Treasury. Okay. At that point, Donald Trump became Treasury, not Treasury Secretary, but the chairman of the Federal Reserve. In effect, chairman of the entire banking system for the entire world. I'm going to say that again. When Trump pulled the Federal Reserve into the U.S. Treasury, he became de facto chairman of all of the banks of the entire planet. Now, that wasn't widely published, and for good reason. But you can get, if you're getting an inkling now, you should, that the White Hats are so in control of the situation, it is uncontestable. Go ahead.
Yeah, one indicator that Trump had control is the fact that no matter what happened in his four-year administration, the deep state wasn't able to bring down the markets and make him look bad. He had the magic wand. He had the ability to keep the stock markets propped up and make him look good as a result. And so that's one indicator that he really does have authority in the financial realm. And he understands it quite well, and he understands how to go bankrupt quite well, and he understands how to get rid of debt. And so thank God that we have someone like him as kind of the general of this operation. I want to start getting into the players, because we have white hat players that are making public announcements and picking a side in this financial class warfare. And you have deep state players who have picked their side as well. And it's kind of an incestuous thing, the deep state. Everyone's husband and wife is connected in all these different organizations. So I'm going to ask the producer to go ahead and bring up the Elon Musk tweets. So Elon Musk, you know, Q has actually said that Elon Musk was part of the deep state because he was selling rocket technology to North Korea. But apparently Elon Musk has chosen his side of this war. And if you look at the very top, scroll up to the top of Elon Musk's profile, he just changed his profile to say Bitcoin. And that pumped up the Bitcoin market by 15%. And then if you scroll down, you're going to see a bunch of tweets related to this GameStop thing, where he says, basically, here, stop right there. You can't sell houses you don't own. You can't sell cars you don't own. But you can sell stock that you don't own. This is BS. Shorting is a scam. And so he's chosen his side. And if the producer could pull up the next resource, the resource F. This is showing Elon Musk, like, he found a way to kind of promote this class warfare without like directly saying go buy GameStop stock. He just said GameStonk, which is like just a slang word for what's going on. And he put a link to the Wall Street Bets subreddit. And then on the right, you see that the Justice Department just started investigating SpaceX, kind of that the person who posted it is making an assumption that the deep state is trying to punish Elon Musk for his public choosing of going with the regular retail investors instead of siding with the hedge funds. And so let's go to the next resource, which is Dave Portnoy of Barstool Sports. So by the way, Elon Musk is one of the most popular social media personalities in the world. He's also the richest person in the world. So when he says something, people listen. When he says GameStonk, when he says short selling should be illegal, people listen. That's a big statement from a very influential person. And this other guy, Dave Portnoy, let's pull up his resource. So he's the CEO of Barstool Sports, which is one of the most popular, you know, if you're into sports, you know about it. If you're not, you don't know about it. But this guy, Dave Portnoy, has been putting himself out there as a man of the people. You know, he's basically been trying to raise funds for all the people who have been put out of business from the COVID-19 scamdemic. But he's making a stand now. He's saying all of these people like Robin Hood and you know, all of these hedge fund managers that are colluding and everything, they should be in jail. And so he's really screaming at the top of his lungs on social media, and he's very influential. He's waking up the regular sports people and saying, hey, this is a conversation you should be paying attention to. And he's talking about big money on the table. So he's waking up the regular masses and really incentivizing them to buy GameStop. And so let's pull up the next resource, which is Don Jr., the, you know, Donald Trump's son. And so Dave Portnoy says, somebody is going to have to explain to me in what world Robinhood app and others literally trying to force a crash by closing the open markets is fair. They should be in jail. And Donald Trump Jr. says, it took less than a day for big tech, big government, and the corporate media to spring into action and begin colluding to protect their hedge fund buddies on Wall Street. This is what a rigged system looks like. Reddit Army, GME for GameStop, and GME to the moon hashtags. So now Donald Trump Jr., who still has a Twitter account, but not for long, is using his massive social media presence to pump up this revolution, this financial revolution, to get regular people involved and understand what's at stake and understand the sides and really to jump into action, buy some GameStop stock and bring down the rigged system. So this is huge, Jim. What are your thoughts?
Well, I love this whole tag team methodology on the part of the Trump team, because you'll never see them come out and talk and say things like we're saying. They're never going to say, yep, this was the plan all along, and we're going to stick it to them, which they could say, and they'd get a lot of support for saying it. But they're so much more smarter than that. And they're just acting like everybody else, like, whoa, look at this is happening. But let us tell you about how the deep state is reacting to this situation. And we can show you, because you need to be shown, how the deep state operates and how they collude and how they get together. There it is, right there in front of you. We couldn't have said it better ourselves, but we just want to bring it to your attention. Yes. So it's this death by a thousand cuts kind of operation here, where they can just, you know, chirp in, yeah, look at that. Wow. Look at the deep state doing their horrible thing. Wow. And just keep whacking them, whacking and whacking those guys. And they got no defense against that. I mean, this is Gulliver's Travels. And they're just adding more and more Lilliputians to the mix. And Gulliver is just like, Jesus, I can't get a break here.
Well, I can see what's coming, because the only thing that the deep state has left to do is censor the sharing of information. And they're already calling for it. They're basically saying, hey, if you're chatting online about these stocks, then we can shut down your social media. We can stop you from buying the stocks. We can investigate you for financial crimes. And so I don't know. Hey, maybe the White Hats have control of Twitter, and maybe that's the reason why Elon Musk and Don Jr. still have a right to speak on there. But if the deep state still controls Twitter, I am expecting a social media blackout to prevent more of this coordination, because what you have is a whole bunch of unsophisticated investors hopping on this train to see if they can make a quick buck. And they don't understand that if they sell, then Wall Street wins. And so, if we don't have the ability on social media, on Telegram, which Apple is trying to remove from our phones, if on Gab.com, on Twitter and so forth, if we don't have the ability to communicate and educate people and help them understand this is how a short squeeze works, this is what you need to do as an infantry member of the financial warfare situation, then a whole bunch of people are going to fall into a deep state trap, which is to just sell these stocks as soon as they see the price start to go down a little bit. I want to bring up the deep state players that have been exposed. Look at Janet Yellen. She is the new Treasury Secretary. She received $800,000 from the hedge fund that's involved in all of this. And so let's pull up the next resource that shows that she has an ethics agreement that says that she will basically not be participating in any matter related to Citadel. Citadel is the name of the company that bailed out Melvin Capital. And so, she makes almost $1 million giving a speech, which everybody knows is just paying for her influence. Well, now she has the position of influence and she's not recusing herself as her ethics agreement says she should. So she's been completely exposed. And the next resource, the press secretary, when asked about this situation, said, no, she's not going to recuse herself. She has every right to make almost $1 million from giving a speech, blah, blah, blah. Turns out the press secretary's husband manages a portfolio for Citadel. I mean, that's how incestuous the deep state is, Jim. What are your thoughts? Yeah, Jim, before you give your thoughts, Jim, just the last deep state person who's been exposed, and this is someone that Q specifically said, watch out for this person, Peter Stroke's wife, and by the way, she's the one that turned him in for his text messaging with Lisa Page. She is now the acting director of the SEC Enforcement Division. So, Jim, what are your thoughts?
There you are, the wolves guarding the hen house. So, Citadel clearly was targeted by the White Hats because of Yellen's exposure to Citadel. So they're looking at the situation and say, well, if they choose Yellen for Treasury Secretary, which of course they knew well ahead of time because they know their comms, then it's like, okay, we're going to now go after Citadel because now that's who we need to attack. And knowing full well that Yellen, as any Treasury Secretary will do, has to have those ethic agreements. They're part and parcel to the position. So they just looked at the board and went, oh, there's our move. It's straightforward as one could ever hope. So target Citadel, get them all tied up in knots, and then turn the spotlight on Yellen and go, hey, yeah, you really ought to recuse yourself. And then put the new press secretary, thank you, on the hot seat. It's like one hot seat after another. I mean, this is just too much fun for words. I have to say, I really, at this point, I'm in seventh heaven. I'm giddy because of the beauty and the precision of what they're doing. Yeah. And now we just go down the line. Hey, what about you? What about you? What about you? And everybody is watching this. Everybody is watching this. And this is not going to be lost on them. And maybe they'll defend the Democrats initially, but then they're going to have friends who are going to say, really, I don't defend that. They shouldn't be doing that. I'm a Democrat and I don't defend that. Why should you be defending that? Right. So the Democrats are going to start going after each other. Beautiful. Epic.
Yes.
And biblical.
I've always had a mistrust of authority, but you know what really woke me up out of the charismatic effect that Barack Obama had was when he bailed out Wall Street. And I was just like, what the heck? That was the biggest scam ever. And so when this happens, it is going to wake a lot of people up when they realize that they're not getting their COVID checks and yet Wall Street's going to get bailed out. That's not going to look good. But you're right, Jim. This seems to have been targeted financial warfare where they assumed certain organizations and brokers and so forth, that the dominoes would fall in a certain direction and they would be obligated to cover each other and that they would be implicated and it would bring all of them down. And so that was a really a nice pick. So probably not organic. But what's even more exciting, Jim, is that this is just the beginning. This is just the first stock that this army of retail investors have targeted against short sellers, and they have a slew of other stocks such as AMC and Nokia and BlackBerry and so forth. But even more interesting to me is what could be coming next with the silver market, because that actually has fundamental value that's been artificially suppressed for a long time. And if we could get silver in the hands of regular people, and so that when all the house of cards falls down, the people actually have value in their accounts. Because I'm afraid for the people doing the whole GameStop thing here, they jump on the train. You never know how it's going to end or when. You know, it can't go up forever, obviously. And it's already at a ridiculous point where the stock price doesn't reflect the actual value of the company. And so it's a scary, scary time. But with silver price, it's at a 70-to-1 ratio with gold right now, and it could rise up to $1,000 an ounce, and it would actually be a fair market value, because silver is going to run out by the year 2025.
Yeah. People need to understand that silver, unlike gold, is a quote unquote industrial metal. So it gets used up. But when you look at gold, it's used so little in industry that most of the gold that's ever been mined is still in on the surface, you know, and being held by various organizations. Now, I want to mention something that's important here. A former president of Harvard University, whose name was Summers, he wrote a paper that has become a primary roadmap for the Federal Reserve. And what that paper said is that there is an intrinsic relationship between precious metals and interest rates, and that when you touch one, you're touching the other. Okay. Now, during that time, ever since then, the Federal Reserve, you know, when they were the Federal Reserve, constantly pushed down interest. Manipulate those interest rates. And at that point, the price of stocks went up and were controlled. Now, as the price of gold and silver are rising, and in particular of importance is what Sean just mentioned, that the ratio of value between silver and gold is starting to come together. This is a massive, massive loss for any organization, big banks, who have those interest rate derivatives. And those interest rate derivatives, it's kind of a way of shorting stock, but you're making money on the fact that interest rates are going down. They're now losing massive amounts of money just on that alone. So now we're starting to tally up all the various areas where the big banks are getting hammered financially, and it's getting to be unreal, absolutely unreal.
Yeah.
So the other thing I want to mention quickly on the gold and silver situation is the word hypothecation. And what hypothecation means is that you have more silver paper, like paper representations of silver and gold. Hypothecation. And when that's now up to, in some cases, 200 times more paper gold than real gold. And if you don't think that's a problem, hang on to your seat, because it is going to be a big problem. It's like musical chairs. When the music stops, there's a lot of chairs that aren't going to be there for people to sit on.
Right. And the strategy from the from the retail investors, if they target silver next, what they want to do is force these hedge funds to actually deal with the physical silver. Instead of just shuffling around papers, they want to force delivery of these, force the hedge funds to actually deliver their physical silver. And that's why some people are saying, hey, don't even bother with buying these silver stocks and exchange traded funds, just go buy physical silver. And it'll be even more effective against the deep state. So in a long-term trend, we're looking at the dollar losing value. And we're looking at...
Sean, I got to step away for 1 second. Keep talking.
Sure. Yeah, so in the long term, we're looking at the value of the dollar and fiat currencies going down and having inflation. And so having silver and gold and real estate and cryptocurrency and other things, people are going to try to figure out an alternative. If I can't save my money in the bank account with dollars, what would be a better place to put my money? If the dollars are losing value, they might choose Bitcoin, they might choose gold and silver, they might choose real estate, and they might choose buying a business or farmland or those kind of logical ideas. So this is a really good time for you to take advantage of the free consultation for precious metals. If you want to talk to Dr. Kirk Elliott about silver and gold, check out the link in the description below. And you can get that free consultation. You can literally call his office right now if you want to. But what I want to close with, Jim, is the idea that this program that we made today is actually the best one that I've seen on this topic. And it's so current because we're talking about news that's happened today and yesterday. And it's very, we covered all the different aspects of the story. The phase one of the interview at the beginning, if you didn't check out the beginning of this show, we talked about the basics of the GameStop stock fiasco. In phase two, we talked about how it could bring the whole system down. In phase three of the interview, we talked about how it connects to QAnon and the White Hat strategy of financial warfare. In phase four, we talked about the players, the good guys like Elon Musk and Don Jr. and Dave Portnoy, and then the deep state players like Janet Yellen and Peter Strzok's wife and the press secretary's husband and so forth. So we laid it all out for you. Please share this link like fire with everyone that you know who's interested in the financial markets and interested in what's going on politically, because this information, if you keep paying attention, is going to be very valuable to your personal bottom line and to the rest of your financial life, because these changes that are happening now are going to have long-term implications. So do some very logical things with your money right now, like make sure you have food in the house. Make sure that you have a garden. Make sure that you have, you know, fuel and guns and all the basics that you would want to have. And then also make sure you diversify. So nothing I'm saying is financial advice. I'm not a financial advisor, but I do recommend someone who is. And their link is in the description below. Any final thoughts, Jim?
Well, this is a very, very important session that we're doing today, because this is going to make sense to everybody who is at all interested in finance. And of course, that runs the political spectrum. So if you are ever going to share one of our videos, this would be the one to share, because the more people we can hit with this, the broader and by a leveraged means this information is going to get out. And so, we just really appreciate the understanding of that and the desire to really get good, solid financial information. This isn't something where people are going to look at and go, oh, that's just a bunch of Q nonsense, because it's not. This is all over the mainstream media now. So this is the leveraging that we've been looking for. This is the kind of...
This is what happens when you interview someone who is on board a sailboat and being tossed around by the wind. But thank you for tuning in. So thank you for tuning in, and make sure that you follow all of our episodes every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern on AmericanMediaPeriscope.net. Make sure you take advantage of the free consultation on precious metals in the description below. And this is Sean Morgan from the Sean Morgan Report signing off. And remember, keep on following the truth. It's always about that pursuit of the truth. And thank you for watching today. God bless you and God bless America.